International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater. Starring Helen Hayes in the I.A.R. Wiley story, Stars in Their Courses. Brought to you in behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate. We are happy to present in the place of Conrad Nagel, who, as we told you last week, will be unable to be with us for these New York appearances, that celebrated actor-producer of stage and radio, the man who has won wide acclaim as director and star of the Mercury Theater on the air, Mr. Orson Welles.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very glad to be on hand for these two New York broadcasts of the Silver Theater. In future weeks, when the show returns to Hollywood, you'll hear such stars as Ginger Rogers, Clark Gable, and Betty Davis in stories by America's foremost authors. Today, your master of ceremonies is lucky enough to introduce one of the truly great actresses of our time, Miss Helen Hayes. Miss Hayes will be supported by Carlton Young and Morgan Farley in Stars in Their Courses, especially adapted for Silver Theater by Charles Taswell. Now the play is about to begin, Stars in Their Courses, with Helen Hayes as Jill Fenwick. The scene is the Omansville Opera House, where just a few minutes ago, the curtain fell on a rare treat. Romeo and Juliet, performed for one night by a roadshow troupe. Now in the dark and deserted auditorium, Reese Tennant, who played Romeo, calls to the stage doorman.
Say, Uncle Jim, where can I leave a suitcase while I go out and eat? I'll pick it up before train time.
Yeah, better not set it there on the stage with the trunks or the expressman will cart it off. Be safer out front in the lobby.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I see, it's dark in here. Where are the steps?
They lead down into the left aisle.
Oh, yeah, I see. Thank you. Oh, I didn't know there was anyone.
Oh.
I beg your pardon, but is there anything I can do? Are you ill?
Just let me alone, will you?
Oh, but you can't just sit down here like this. You're crying.
Well, what if I am?
Well, nothing. It's perfectly all right with me. I just happened to notice.
Well, don't notice. You've done enough already.
I've done enough. Well, what have I done?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, but it does. Please tell
me. Oh, no, I didn't mean what you think.
But you said I'd done something. What could I have done?
You played Romeo tonight.
Yes, I played Romeo tonight, but I thought they liked it.
That's just it. They did. They cheered you and shouted your name. You were good.
But why are you crying about that?
Because just as you stood on a stage tonight, I stood on one last night. Me, a beginner, a nobody, playing my first decent part with a third-rate small-town stock company. But I'd studied and worked and waited and prayed for it. For that much, that little much.
And what happened? Tell me.
Well, there weren't any cheers. There wasn't even any attention. They wished they hadn't come.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And suppose I know. I just suddenly couldn't handle myself or my voice or even the lines. My hands went cold and my head went hot. And by then I was so frightened I forgot what I was supposed to say. You wouldn't believe anyone could be so awful and that it could hurt so much.
You think I don't know, but I do. Only it always seems worse to the person on the stage.
Not last night. Don't you suppose even I know when an audience loses interest? Anyway, the manager knew. Someone else played the part tonight.
Oh, what a rotten shame. I'm sorry.
Sorry because I lost the part? I could never have gone through with it again anyway. And now at least I know. Now I know for keeps that I don't belong in the theater. That's why I came home. I live here in Omansville.
But there's nothing so unique in what happened to you. You mustn't let one experience like that put you off the whole idea of acting.
You can have it. I give it all to you. The smell of backstage, the grease paint, the props, the curtain calls. From now on, I'm going to try to live my life, not pretend it.
Look, why don't we get out of here? I'd like to talk to you about this. Can't we walk somewhere, go somewhere?
No. I have to go home. It's just that I hate having to tell my father and mother what's happened. That's why I came to the play tonight, to put off having to face them.
Then put it off a little longer. Let's talk it over.
But
you're miserable. I'm lonesome. We ought to be good for each other. It's just for a little while.
Well, it's nice of you, and thanks, but Look, please
believe me. I am lonesome. I mean it. I want someone to talk to. And I have an idea of someone to talk to, maybe just what you need, too. So come on, what do you say? Let's see what we can do for each other.
All right. Yes. Let's see. So, Mother and Father sent me down to Stanley Parker's stock company in Louisville. He takes on a certain number of apprentices every year, and I became one of them. I did everything around the theater. One week I'd be the offstage rain effect. The next, I'd play one of those crisp parlor maids who never says anything at all.
Well, I know. I specialized in menials during my first 2 years in the theater. Butlers, chauffeurs, waiters, elevator men, any character who wore a uniform and said nothing more than, yes, sir.
Why have you stopped?
Well, I can be wrong, of course, but that sounded almost like a laugh.
I believe it was.
Oh, that's more like it. Yeah, I wish you'd tell me one thing, though. Why are you so afraid to go home? Won't your parents understand?
Well, they'll find it hard to believe that I failed so miserably, I mean. You see, they thought I was doing so well.
That does make it harder.
And then the neighbors, they'll make sure I never forget it.
What will you do?
Oh, I'll take 10 deep breaths and settle back. Return to the fold of the Monday Bridge Club and the Omansville Literary Guild.
Well, you'll be busy at any rate.
Yes, uninspired, but busy.
Please don't look so sunk again.
How would you feel? It's the end of so much I've hoped for. It wasn't as if I was just stage struck. I honestly thought I could act. That I could play a queen and the audience would never notice that my castle was painted canvas. That I could get the feel of all kinds of characters and make the audience feel them, too. Oh, well.
Do you want to know something? After nearly 7 years in the theater, I played my first lead tonight.
I don't believe it.
It's true. The regular Romeo left suddenly because he and the manager had salary trouble. And even at that, it's just luck they didn't give the part to Paul Summers. You saw him play Friar Lawrence. He used to be on Broadway until he drank himself off it.
He couldn't have played Romeo better than you.
You really mean that?
Yes, of course. I thought it was a fine performance.
Thanks. That's what I needed to hear.
But you must have known.
I never know. And there's never been anyone to tell me.
But your friends.
In the last few years, I haven't been in one place long enough to make friends.
When do you leave here?
2:40, only a couple of hours away.
Oh.
So that's my story. That's how I got...
Wait.
Huh?
I didn't notice where we were walking. Please, let's not go any further.
Well, what is it? What's the matter?
There. That house on the corner, the white one. It's mine. That's where I live. Well, I can't go in. I can't tell them. Not yet.
Well, don't do it. We'll turn around and go back.
It's what I've been dreading all day and all night. As soon as I walk in that door, as soon as I close it behind me, then I'm back. Back to stay.
Then don't go in. Not yet, anyway. Maybe before train time, we can think of something. Come on.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
It doesn't seem half as bad now, does it?
Just about half. Now that you've been nice enough to feed me, I think I can manage to behave like a grown-up.
I'm sure you will. Well, we haven't much time left. Where do you think we ought to go now?
Let's just sit somewhere. Right across the street there in the park.
Oh, right you are.
Funny.
What is?
Oh, the way things happen. This morning you didn't know about me. I didn't know about you.
Funny.
What?
I was just thinking that.
Wait a minute. Oh, do you see what I see? Huh? Look what we practically walked into.
See it? How could anyone miss it? So help me, it's a fire engine.
Now, don't tell me someone just left it here and forgot all about it.
It's brand new, don't you think? I've never seen a redder, shinier, or more businesslike looking one.
Here's a tag on the front. Light a match.
You're right. There you are. What does it say?
Almondsville Volunteer Fire Department.
What's it doing here in the park, do you
suppose? Oh, a new fire engine in Almondsville always calls for a big celebration. They're probably going to dedicate it tomorrow. You know something? I've always wanted to sit in the driver's seat of a red fire engine.
All right, young lady, you asked for it. Up you go.
Why, it's a whole new world up here. Why didn't you see the gadget?
Just think, if I weren't an actor, I might even be able to explain them to you.
Well, explain them anyway. It isn't as if I'd know the difference.
By golly, I would if I had time.
Oh, of course, the time.
Hey, look at that swell moon. Is he an old settler of Almondsville?
Been here ever since I can remember.
He's lucky.
Why?
He'll be here tomorrow night. I won't. Will you miss me at all? Is it possible that you might?
Yes, quite possible.
I know I'll miss you, desperately. It doesn't make sense, of course, but can you understand it?
I can feel it.
I'm glad.
I suppose we'll get over it. After all...
I won't. And you know why?
I can guess.
I'm in love with you. It happened right there in the theater tonight after the show. 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 It's a wonder you didn't hear them. It's a wonder you didn't hear them. It's a wonder you...
Perhaps I did.
Know my name. Or I yours.
Is that important? I'm Jill. I'm Jill. I'm Jill. Beth Fenwick.
I'm Reese. Reese Tennant. And I love you, Jill. What can we do about it? What can we do about it? What can...
Do you know, it's about time.
Good Lord!
Reese!
You had your foot on that button.
Do you think anybody heard it?
Heard it? I'll bet all the volunteers in town are pulling on their boots already.
They won't blame us.
One are pulling on their boots already.
They won't blame us.
One are pulling on their boots already.
They won't blame us.
Yeah. Come on. Here's where we start running. Come on. Jill, what a finale for a love scene.
I always do that when I'm kissed.
Why does everything have to happen to me?
I'm running out of breath.
Yeah.
Here, we can hide behind this tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Phew.
Look, Jill. I haven't any right to ask you. It's unfair, it's unkind, and for your own good, you must say no, but I've got to say it anyway. Jill. Jill, will you marry me?
It's crazy, it's mad. It's no way to do things, but yes.
No, no, you mustn't say that.
But I want to.
You're throwing yourself away.
I don't think so.
Oh, Jill, I'll be so good to you.
I know that.
I'll have to be, because you'll have no one else. Do you realize your family will probably disown you?
Not when they know you.
I hope you're right. I hope you'll be proud of me.
Of course I will.
The first few years won't be pleasant.
We'll make them pleasant.
Bad trains, bad food, bad hotels.
We'll laugh at them when we look back.
Hey, did you hear? It's almost train time. This is your last chance to back out.
Oh, dear.
You mean you've changed your mind?
Certainly not. But I did so want to ring that fire siren again.
Hey, hotel baggage ready at 6. $3 a day, American plan.
Reed, we forgot the electric iron.
Overture places, first act curtain. Guests forbidden to cook in their rooms. We're on our way to Seattle Junction.
Gosh, what a dump. I'm so sorry, darling.
Funny layover, Atchison today. Christmas in Meadville, then swing through the south. Look on the call board for furnished rooms.
No, Reese, of course I'm not tired.
Rehearsal call at 10 in the morning. 6 o'clock train to Henderson.
The house is sold out, Jill.
Reese Payne. Andre. Matinee. Trunks. Lights. One night stand. The theater.
So we come to the end of Act One of Stars in Their Courses, starring Helen Hayes. In just a few seconds, we'll continue with Act Two. First, here's a man with a message. Ralph Edwards.
Have you ever spent hours, even days, racking your brains over what to give somebody very special for a birthday or a wedding or for Christmas? Well, next time you're up against that problem, choose the gift of every woman's dreams. Lustrous, gleaming, sterling silver. Solid silver through and through. For luxurious as it is, you too can own solid silver, and more easily than you think. For example, did you know that International Sterling has sets beginning as low as $16.75? Well, they have. Their newest one is called, intimately, a Me to You set. It's a place setting for one person. Six distinctive pieces of solid silver created in the breathtakingly beautiful Enchantress pattern. Stop in at your silverware dealer tomorrow and get one of these lovely me-to-you sets. Look at other Sterling Silver services while you're there and learn what convenient payment terms can be arranged. Resolve this year to make your gift to some loved one a gift that will long remain a tribute to your taste and thoughtfulness. Solid silver of lasting loveliness by International Sterling. Back to Orson Welles.
Curtain is about to rise on the second act of Stars in Their Courses, starring Helen Hayes. Several months have passed since the marriage of Jill and Reese Tennant. Months of tireless trooping with Jill on the sidelines, watching Reese play Romeo. Now a performance is going on, and Paul Summers seeks out Jill in Reese's dressing room.
Mrs. Reese Tennant, I believe.
Paul.
Wife of the great Romeo.
Shh, they'll hear you out on the stage. Keep quiet or close the door.
I'll close it.
Paul, you've been drinking again.
Oh, why not? They expect it of me. Ask anybody in show business and they'll say, Paul Summers is just a souse.
And I suppose you're proud when they say it.
Sure, what difference does it make?
A lot of difference. You're a good actor.
I was almost a great one. At least the New York critics thought so. Remind me to show you my notices the next time I go to the bottom of my trunk.
But no one will trust you. You're not dependable.
I could stop drinking like that if I wanted to.
Well, why don't you? Then you'd be playing real parts instead of bits.
Say, Jill, do you think Bergson would let me do Romeo?
Well, I don't know, Paul.
You don't believe I could play it as well as Reese? Very well, then. Guess I'll have to show you. Now, you and I are going to do a scene.
Oh, Paul, really?
This chair's the balcony. That electric light globe's the moon. Come on. Get up in the chair.
Paul, for heaven's sake, won't you please...
Oh, come on, Jill, come on.
Well, all right.
That's swell. Now, here we go. She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angel. For thou art as glorious as this night, being o'er my head. Well, go on, Jill. That's your cue.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
No, really, read it. Don't just say...
All right. Oh, Romeo... Romeo.
That's it.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak at this?
Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called?
Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth I never will be Romeo.
What man are you, that thus bescreened by night, so stumblest on my counsel?
By a name, I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I it written, I would tear the word.
My ears have not yet drunk 100 words of that tongue's utterance, yet I know the sound. Art thou not Romeo and a Montague? What are you laughing at?
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. You're really an actress.
Don't be ridiculous, Paul.
Reese was nothing till you came along. He's still not much. But you've made him into the semblance of an actor.
That's not true. Reese is...
I know the hours and the days and the weeks you've worked with him. How you've gone over every line, every word, every phrase. Reese is getting the applause for your performance.
I've helped him, yes. But as an actor, Reese can stand on his own feet.
Can he? Did he ever carry you along as I did just now?
Yes.
I know he didn't, and you know it, too. It's in your eyes and in your voice. For the first time, you doubt him. For the first time, you see him for what he is. A very bad actor. Someone had to prove it to you.
What right have you to prove anything? Yes, you had the advantage of years and experience. But Reese is young, and he has to play opposite Lucille Leslie. What kind of support is that? You know Lucille's too old for Juliet. She could be his mother.
Why, I...
Oh, I shouldn't say things like that. Lucille's my friend and a grand trooper, but...
Oh, it's all wrong. I grant you that. But even so, I still say...
You think I'm so in love with Reese, I can't see he isn't perfect. That's why I've worked with him. His career is my job. His success is the most important thing in my life.
And you're wasting your life, Jill. He hasn't got it in him. I'm sure of it.
And I'm just as sure he has. Now, will you please get out?
Jill. Jill, you hear that? They sat there like sticks all through the show, but I finally got them, didn't I?
Yes. Yes, you did, Reese.
You think this bunch is tough? Just wait till you hit the one after Easter week.
Well, what do you mean?
Hasn't Bergson told you the news? He's going to try the big time.
Really?
Where, Paul?
He's almost set on Boston.
Boston?
Say, that's crazy.
Oh, no, he can't. Not yet, I mean.
What's the matter, Jill? Afraid we aren't good enough?
No.
Well, it'll be Reese's big chance to show what he can really do, won't it?
Why, sure it will. That's what we've been waiting for, Jill. They'll have real critics out front. Why, Lord only knows what may come of it.
Yes, that's right, Reese. Well, I guess I better be making my change. Best of luck, Reese.
Thanks.
I think you'll need it.
What do you suppose he meant by that, Jill?
Nothing. Nothing at all, darling. He's been drinking.
Jill, they've really turned out for us in Boston. Bergson says the house is nearly sold out.
Turn around. Let's see how the new cat fits.
Yeah. Is it okay?
Perfect.
Oh, that's something. You know, I'm
You mustn't be nervous, darling.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk. You're worse than I am.
Well, hold still till I brush your jacket.
Yeah, all right. Oh, gosh, I hope they like it.
Boston's no different than any other town.
But it means so much to us, Jill. I keep wondering what the critics will say.
Why, they'll say, Reese Tennant didn't play Romeo. Reese Tennant was Romeo.
Oh, silly. Well, the reviews better be good. If they aren't, we'll have to go back to the sticks.
Suppose we do. We'll get along. And the next time we come to Boston...
There won't be a next time, Jill. If I don't get over now, I'm finished.
15 minutes.
There's the quarter hour call.
It won't be long now.
Want me to cue you again?
Oh, good Lord, what's that?
More than everybody in the company's here, I'll give it to you straight. This looks like the finish. Lucky Bergson, that's me. Sure, for 20 years, I worked to get a stake to put on a real show. The time comes, and what happens? Lucille Leslie, after trooping all over the country, comes to Boston and has a heart attack 10 minutes before curtain time. So Juliet goes to the hospital, Bergson goes broke, and the rest of the company goes on relief, maybe. Well, I'm sorry, boys and girls. Somebody go out and tell the audience there ain't going to be a show and get the money back at the box office.
Jill, you could do it.
Do what, Reese?
If you wanted to, you could play Juliet.
Oh, no, I couldn't, Reese. You remember what happened. Oh, I couldn't get away with it.
Bergson?
Yeah?
Jill can play Juliet. She knows every line. Night after night, she stands in the wings. She knows all the business.
Say, maybe you're right.
No, don't listen to him, Mr. Bergson. I wouldn't be good, I tell you.
But, Jill, it's entirely different this time. You know the play so well, and you'll be on the stage with me. I can carry it. I've been doing it for months.
Sure, that's right, Jill. And Lucille's costumes will fit fine.
But I don't want to act. No, I won't do it.
Don't you want to give Reese his chance and keep the company together?
Of course, Paul. Only
you must do it. If you don't, it's curtains in. Look, Jill, Abel Green from Variety came up here just to catch Reese.
Oh, Well...
Get Lucille's makeup.
You don't need a wig, Jill.
And don't use too much rouge, darling.
Yeah, there's a lot of amber in the foots.
But the audience... Suppose they don't believe I'm Juliet.
Don't worry about a thing, darling. I won't have you hurt. I love you too much.
And I won't be hurt, Reese. You know something? I'm not really frightened. I would be if it was for myself, but it isn't. It's for you. And I can do anything for you.
Jill. Jill, you're the grandest...
And you mustn't be afraid for me, Reese. Just imagine I'm really Juliet, in love with you. That won't be difficult, because I am, you know.
You two, going on like that at a time like this. George.
Yeah?
Get out there in front of the curtain and give him a talk. Tell him Lucille has been taken ill and Reese Tennant's wife is stepping into the part of the last moment without a rehearsal. Play that up big. Even those stuffed shirts must have a heart.
Yes, sir.
And, everybody clear out now. You too, Reese. Get a girl a chance to get ready. Come on, come on. Get out of the doorway. God bless you, Jill. Just take it easy and I'll, be praying for you.
All right, Mr. Bergson.
Good luck, Jill.
Thanks, darling.
Don't worry. We'll knock them dead.
Come on. Get this hall cleared. First act people out on stage. Reese, you and Paul run over that business in the last scene.
All right, Bergson.
Hey, Paul.
Right with you, Reese. Well, Jill, so fate has made you a Juliet at last.
Not fate. You and Reese and Bergson and even somebody named Green on Variety. I have to get dressed, Paul. Can't you wait till
I... You're foolish to let yourself into this, Jill.
Why do you say that? You're one of the ones who kept on at me until...
Listen to me, Jill. When the last curtain falls, one of two things will have happened. If you've played the part badly, haven't given Reese the proper support, you'll have lost his opportunity. You'll have to go back to one-night stands. He'll grow to hate you for that, Jill.
Oh, no, he won't. I'll have done my best. He'll know that.
Or if you play it as well as I believe you can... The audience will never know Reese was on the stage. You'll go on from tonight, Jill. He'll slip back or stand still. He'll hate you for that, too.
Haven't you done enough already? For weeks you've been tormenting me, trying to discourage Reese, telling us Boston was bound to be a grand and glorious flop. Well, you've been wasting your time, and right now you're wasting mine. I've heard all I want to out of you. Now, won't you please get out?
All right. Have it your way.
No. No. Dear God, don't let Paul be right. This is Reese's night. Help him. Make him great. And please, please help me too. Make me a Juliet he'll keep on loving.
This is Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen. You've just heard the close of the first part of Stars in Their Courses. Before we tell you about next week's episode, here is a man to offer a helpful suggestion for your dinner table. Ralph Edwards.
Any woman is a more charming and gracious hostess when she knows that her dinner table is sparkling with beautiful silverware. And any woman can be justly proud of her silverware if it's either International Sterling, the solid silver we mentioned a while ago, or 1847 Rogers Brothers, the silver plate we'd like to mention now. 1847 Rogers Brothers, as many of you know, has been creating masterpieces of silver plate design for almost a century. And with their latest pattern, First Love, 1847 Rogers Brothers have achieved something really sensational. For the garland of formal flowers which ornaments the pattern is richly raised and deeply etched in a new perfection of craftsmanship never before achieved in silver plate. Of course, to really appreciate the exquisite beauty of the First Love pattern, you have to actually see it with your own eyes. And in order that you may see it, 1847 Rogers Brothers invite you to go to your silverware dealer and get the small, distinctive serving fork, which they're offering you now for only 25 cents. 1/6 its normal value. Stop in tomorrow. Get your fork. And while you're there, find out about the convenient terms which make it so easy for you to own complete sets of this loveliest of silver plate, 1847 Rogers Brothers First Love. And now Orson Welles has a word for you.
Next week at this same time, Helen Hayes as Jill Tennant, Carlton Young as Reese, and Morgan Farley as Paul Summers in the exciting finale of Stars in Their Courses. There'll be music by Mark Warno and his orchestra, of course, and I'll be here to welcome you.
Meanwhile, if you want solid silver, you want International Sterling. If you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. Helen Hayes is currently playing a return engagement of Victoria Regina in New York. Orson Welles is heard later this evening over this same network in his weekly broadcast of the Mercury Theater on the air. Ralph Edwards speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.